Chapter 15. We'll read together the first three verses of this chapter. On me. The title of the message this evening is A Word to the Weak and Strong. A Word to the Weak and to the Strong. As I prepared this message, you know me, that normally I am a textual preacher. I usually have a text and then from that, expound the text and preach to you. This message I have this evening is quite unusual for me. It is more of a topical message than it is textual. And I don't normally do this for several reasons, because mostly a textual, not a textual, but a topical message. Usually people take the topic and they twist it, the scriptures, to fit the topic. And that's not my intention in this. And I don't believe it's happened in this. I pray that this is for our benefit. We who are believers in Jesus Christ, we confess this, that we are truly weak and feeble creatures. We are weak and feeble creatures. When everything seems calm, when everything seems smooth, and we feel strong in the faith, we feel as though we can move mountains, there are times when we are so sure of our hope of eternal glory, we are so sure of our union with Christ, and we are so lifted up on the wings of eagles that we can soar to the heights of glory and praise God, so sure that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. There are times when we are so strong, we feel so strong in the faith, that we could say like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Have you not said that? I have. How many times have we felt so strong in the faith that we said like Peter, though everyone forsake you, I will die with you. And we, like these saints of God, were very sincere. These saints were not joking when they said that. You do not think that Peter was joking? Peter was sincere when he said it. And so was Job. So was Job. And we, like these saints, are very sincere and truly mean these things from the depths of our heart when we are strong in faith. And so tonight, if you're strong in faith, I want you to remember this, believer in Christ, you should rejoice. If you are strong in faith, rejoice. Rejoice. Give glory to God for His grace that sustains you and causes you to mount up on wings of eagles, to run and not be weary. If you're strong in faith, rejoice. Give thanks for your strength. Let us offer to God the calves of our lips, which is praise and thanksgiving in such times of strength. If this is now your lot, to be strong in faith and in grace, then I exhort you now, believer, as the Scripture has said in our text, we then that are strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak. of the weak. You are strong now. Listen to what the Scripture tells you. Listen to what the exhortation to you who are strong in faith. It is to bear the infirmities of your brethren. O you that are strong in faith, forget not who it is that made you strong. If you're strong in faith, don't forget who it is that made you such. It was God. If you are strong in faith, is it not because God gave you such strength? If you are strong in all His graces, remember, it is His grace that has forgiven you all of your sins and trespasses. Remember, believer, therefore, to forgive those who have offended you. If you're strong in faith, does that mean that you're free from offense? No. We're subject to be offended. And if your brother offends you, you that are strong in faith, forgive him. Forgive him. Even as Christ forgave you. You that are strong in faith, forgive the one who is weaker. You who are strong in the grace of faith should remember those who are fallen, those who have been broken on the rocks, either by divine providence or by divine chastisement. Remember those, my friends, who have sinned. Remember your brethren who have fallen and sinned and are running contrary to the Christ that they profess to believe. Remember your weaker brethren, you that are strong. Go over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And look what he tells us in verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, notice this, ye which are spiritual. What is he saying? You that are strong in faith, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Notice this. Considering thyself. Considering thyself. Why is it that you should restore such an one who's overtaken in a fault? Why is it that you who are strong, you should do it considering yourself? Considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill what? The law of Christ. I heard this story of Walter Gruber. Walter Gruber's a missionary in Mexico, been there for, I imagine, close to 50 years, preaching the gospel a long time. And he was being visited. Marvin Stoniker had visited him. And Brother Walter Gruber was standing at the freezer door open, blocking his face. And Cody said to Marvin, he said, Marvin, won't you ask Walter if he can give you some ice cream? And he said, Walter, can I have some ice cream? And no word from Walter. Didn't say a word, just left the freezer door open, just standing there. He was eating his ice cream. And Betty said, well, Walter, now you give him some of that ice cream. You're just being selfish. And Walter said, well, Betty, I'm not being selfish. I'm just thinking about myself. So listen to the wisdom. Think about yourself. Consider your brethren that is taken in a fault. Ye, him that is dashed upon the rocks of providence. Him that is suffering under great affliction and adversity. Consider him and restore him considering thyself. Lest you be taken. Why? Because you and him are the same. What makes you strong and him weak? Is it not God? Is it not God? Believer, the apostle is telling us that when we are strong in faith and grace, we should think about ourselves that we are dealing with a brethren that is the same as we are. We both, strong and weak, were chosen by the Father in eternal election. We who are strong and weak were redeemed by the precious blood of the Son of God. We who are strong and we who are weak are both clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Both the strong and the weak have the same Holy Spirit dwelling in each of you. In each of you. And we both have been given the same new nature that is created after God in true holiness. Consider this. That the newest believer in Jesus Christ has the same right and privileges as the eldest believer in Jesus Christ. They're the same. They're the same. Consider that. As we endure one another, as we bear under each other's burdens. Believer, the believer who stands and preaches the gospel with boldness and stands in the heat of the spiritual battle is the same as the weak and timid warrior who has only the shield of faith quenching the darts of the wicked one. Consider this, we are both more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Is that not so? Is that not so? The boldest and the most timid are the same. They're both victors through Jesus Christ, our captain, our king. Both victors. So then, a word to those who are strong, to you who are given a greater measure of grace and faith. Rejoice and be glad. Refresh your souls for the journey. And keep your eyes upon your weary brethren and help them, encourage them in your time of strength, considering yourself. Because I'll tell you, if you're strong now, how long do you suppose it'll last before you need someone to come along and encourage you? How long will it be? If you are a believer in Christ for any amount of time, you know this to be true. That we are strong at times in faith and every grace. But that does not always continue to be the case. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 15. Flip over there and look at this with me. Romans chapter 12. Considering you strong and remembering, refreshing yourself in the gospel and encouraging your brethren. Remember this. Look at verse 15 of Romans chapter 12. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. That's easy, isn't it? It's easy. When somebody's rejoicing, it's kind of easy to get caught up in rejoicing, isn't it? It's kind of contagious. I like it. I like when somebody else is rejoicing. But notice this. And what does it say? And beat them that weep. Is that what it says? No. No, it says weep with them that weep. It's always our tendency when we are strong in the faith and someone is weeping that we usually beat them instead of weep with them. It is our natural tendency of self-superiority. And we should be very careful. When someone is weeping, oh believer, don't look down at them, but rather get down with them. Get down and bear under their weeping. Bear under their weeping. Weep with them. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Solomon says, be not wise in your own eyes. You who are rich in the grace of God, do not mock those who seem poor in the grace of God. In doing so, you mock God. Is that not so? Who made them? Who gave them such a poor measure of grace? Is it not God? Matter of fact, I'll read it to you. You don't have to turn over there, but Proverbs chapter 17. Listen to this scripture. Proverbs 17 and verse 5. It says, "Whosoever mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker." Believer, consider the measure of grace given to you is not because of you, nor is it given for you, but rather it is given to you by the grace, the free favor of God alone, and for the glory of God alone. Oh, how foolish we are to think so highly of ourselves. So when God gives to us an abundant measure of grace, we begin to strut around like proud peacocks, showing the feathers of grace. And I know this, your pastor is such a man. May God, by His grace, humble us. The Scriptures are very clear. It says, "For I say through the grace given me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." You get that? How much faith we have is given in a measure. Some have more, and some have less. But who it is that gives the faith? Who is it that gives the faith? It's God that gives the measure of faith. And so if I have great faith or I have weak faith, is it not God who gives it? Is it not God who meets it out? Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the apostle says this in verse 7, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it?" In other words, he's talking about fake humility. We shouldn't have fake humility. If we have faith, we should exercise that faith. If we have love, we should exercise that love. If we have any grace at all, we should exercise what we have and give the glory to who? God, who gave it. It's God who gave it. And we should not strut around. Is not pride and grace opposed to one another? You bet it is. Pride and grace are opposed. Why is one brother strong in the faith while the other brother suffers with thoughts of unbelief and fear? Why is it that one brother is given such a lot as seeing that nothing can separate him or cause him to waver from the cause of Christ in serving Christ, while another believer is full of failures and pain, and so that fear is his constant companion, and every step of his journey seems to be marked with doubts that he has any part with Christ at all? What makes the difference? Is it not God? It is. It is God that makes a difference. But let them both, the one who is in doubt, the one who is weak, and the one who is strong, let them both, weak and strong believer, repose and find rest in this,
that all our salvation does not rest in any measure of our faith. Our salvation rests completely and absolutely on Jesus Christ, the object of our faith. Isn't that comforting? Isn't that comforting? It doesn't matter how much faith God has given you, whether big or small. It only matters that the object of our faith has accomplished salvation. And those who are weak, if you are strong and you have the graces of God, we know it is the Spirit. But you who are weak, we know this more than those that are strong. We know more of our need. Isn't that right? When you are weak, don't you know more of your need? Yeah. When we are weak, we know more of our need of growth in every grace. But when we are made strong in grace, we seem to forget that we have need of growing. We seem to forget when we are strong that we've not yet come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to the perfect man. Are you the perfect man yet? Have you made it? If you've made it, you need to come up here and trade places with me. I made it. We've not come in the unity of the perfect man yet. We've not all grown up and become as mature in the fullness of Christ yet. That day is coming, but it's not yet. Therefore, we all, from time to time, must be brought low. We must suffer tribulation in order that God should humble us. Should humble us. Now, the reasons God's hand be upon us and cause us to be weak and to humble us are varied. It may be because of our sin. He may put things upon us because He might be preparing us for His use. It may be to prove our faith. But whatever the reason for our trials and difficulties, the result is always the same. It will cause His saints to grow in every grace. This is the result of God's trials. This is the result of God showing us our weakness. Believer, if you are in trouble because of your sin, then humble yourself as a child under the hand of your Father's chastisement. Knowing this, that God only chastens those that He loves. Now, isn't that wonderful? If you're being chastened, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good news? If you weren't being chastened, you'd be a bastard and not a son. But because you are chastened, you should humble yourself and thank your Father for chastening you. Believer, if you suffer, not because of your sin, but rather because of your faithfulness. Peter says this, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. O you that suffer for the gospel's sake, happy are you, for God is preparing you for service. Isn't that what He does? He's preparing us for our use. For tribulation worketh what? Patience. And who among us does not need patience? And patience, experience, and experience, hope or confidence. And confidence maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. Believers, let us be sure not to look at our experience or our suffering or rejoicing and compare it to others' experience. Don't do that. Not all believers in Christ are brought down to the depths of suffering like Job. Have you been brought that low? Because I haven't. I've been brought low. I've not been brought that low. Not all of us have experienced the heights that the Apostle Paul experienced. It was brought up to heaven itself. Have you experienced that? I haven't. So we should not compare our experiences in this. Otherwise, we begin envying others, don't we? We look at his experience or her experience and say, man, I'd like to have that one. I'd like to. No, you've got your experience. What God give you. It's what God gives you. Most of us are somewhere in between these two places. But no matter what your experience, may the Lord bring us, no matter if it's the heights of joy and gladness, so that we feel His presence, or if we're cast into utter darkness and despair where we cannot see or feel His graces. Either way, we can and should consider in both experiences, either high or low, either strong or weak, that we do have access to God by the grace that is in Jesus Christ. So no matter what your experience, strong or weak, you have just as much right to the throne of God as Job or Paul or Silas or any of these other saints. Therefore, remember, no matter your experience in the flesh, we are justified by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. You're justified. You know what that means? You're innocent of all charges. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Remember, faith is a gift of God's grace. But our justification is not dependent on the measure of our faith. It's not even dependent upon the act of our faith. But rather in Jesus Christ, the object of our faith. It was not our faith that made peace with God, but rather the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Faith is a gift to the sinner. And all who are given faith, act upon that faith and receive the justification God has given to us that Christ purchased. Just as a thirsty man is given water, what do you suppose he'll do with that water? He'll drink it. If he's thirsty, he'll drink it. If you give a starving man food, what do you suppose he'll do with it? He'll eat it. He'll eat it. But a dead man neither needs it nor will receive it. Only those who are born again, given and given life, both know their need of righteousness and redemption, need of mercy and pardon, and we gladly, with thanksgiving, receive it. Now, did my receiving his justification do anything to justify me? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I receive no glory for this. You see, so no matter what, weak or strong, who gets the glory? God. In all things. In all things. Remember, He is our salvation. Isaiah said, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. And listen, He is also become my salvation. You see, in eternity, He was our salvation. When Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, He was our salvation. And now He has by grace come to us and He has become our salvation. And you know what He's doing right now? He is saving me now. He has now become my salvation. And now become my salvation. And now become my salvation until He brings me home. He is all my salvation. So whether you're in the depths or you're in the heights, it doesn't matter. He is our salvation. Does this not humble us all?
both weak and strong? Should we not then do what He did for us? Bear under one another's burdens, lifting up one another as He sustains us. Should we not bear under one another's burdens? I tell you this, I don't deserve for you to bear under my burdens. But neither did you deserve Christ's blood. And it's vice versa. We should be the most gracious people on the face of God's earth. Should we not? Should we not be most gracious to one another? Should we not be the most caring, loving, and giving people on the face of God's earth, seeing what great things He's done for us? What great things He's doing for us? I know this. I'm here tonight, and I believe on Jesus Christ still. You know why? Because He sustains me. Otherwise, I'd gone away a long time ago. He keeps me as the apple of His eye. And He hides me under the shadow of His wing. And there we are safe. May God give us grace to love one another as we should. And thus fulfill the law of Christ. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer.